Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We just talked about the six needs, and one of them was commitment. And because commitment is a very important issue in our marriage, it gives security, it gives a feeling of being safe. That's why I dedicated the last two lectures to understand more and more this need, commitment. In this lecture, we'll speak about the power of commitment, And tomorrow, God willing, we'll speak about the two types of commitment: constraint commitment and dedication commitment. The long-term commitment. Marriage is a long-term, is a lifelong commitment. The long-term commitment is very important in marriage, because no relationship is constantly satisfying. Many times we'll be unhappy in this relationship. We'll be unhappy with our spouses. And the marriage experience can be very ungratifying at times. And actually, what gets coupled through this time is long-term commitment. Also, long-term commitment frees you to grow closer, because you feel secure enough to take the risks of disclosing more about yourself. So the long-term commitment gives you freedom to disclose more, to be open more, to be transparent more. And with this transparency, you will grow yourself, you will grow, and both of you can grow closer to each other. But when the long term is uncertain, partners begin to focus on the immediate payoff. What do I mean? What have you done for me lately? Or we can ask something like, give it to me now and give it to me quick, because I am not sure of the long-term commitment. So I need my needs to be satisfied here and now. And I am focusing on the immediate payoff. Like, for example, in a job that you are not secure and there is no long-term commitment, you want your check immediately. You are not going to wait. But couples with a clearer long-term view talks frequently about plans they have for life together. They plan for their future together because they have a long-term commitment. And they do things for one another, show respect and protect their marriage, and giving the marriage priority and protect the marriage from any temptation. One of the beautiful long-term commitment was between Ruth and her mother-in-law. she told her, where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. A beautiful long-term commitment. In a stock market, if you leave your money for a long time and you don't react to day-to-day swings in the stock prices, actually you can, on the long term, you will make profit. But if you move your money around so often, then the long-term growth will be compromised. And you will lose more money than those who just keep on investing, whether the market is up or down. If you ask a financial advisor, he will tell you, if you don't need your money, just leave it there, even when the market is down, because the long term will be eventually up. But if you move your money frequently, you will lose more money. That's why you need to think of your marriage as a long-term investment. Long-term investment. Don't think to move yourself when the market is down, when there is stress on your marriage, or you are unhappy, or there is some lack of satisfaction. You need, the investment in marriage is a long-term investment. The ups and downs in the stock market are the ups and downs in your satisfaction in the marriage. As the ups and downs in the market are inevitable, normal, expected, in the same way in your marriage, the ups and downs are inevitable, are normal. If you get too focused on the down cycles and you want to move on the down cycles, then you will lose much of what you have invested in the marriage. Successful people keep on investing, whether the relationship feels good, great, or not. That's why togetherness in the marriage takes commitment. If you want your investment in marriage to be successful, don't focus on the down cycles. But if you have a short-term view and you will move your investment around, how you will move your investment around in marriage? For example, in the form of affair, you are not satisfied, so you have an affair. Or you put your marriage not on your priority, so work will take priority. Maybe even service, you'll give priority over your marriage. Then the marriage is weakened. The marriage is weakening. Because your energy will be so divided and you will be very distracted, and there is nothing left over to invest in your marriage. Investment expert tells us to diversify, which means to multiply the number of ways you invest within your relationship. For example, if you put all your money with one company, if this company goes down or bankrupt, you lost all your investment. It's better to diversify. In the same way in marriage, you need to multiply the number of ways you invest within the relationship. That's why in the first lecture I talked different ways of intimacy. It can be sexual, sensual, connection, spiritual, friendship, fun together, working on problems as teams. All these are different ways of diversifying in your marriage. Here you are diversifying within the marriage. So when some of these avenues may not work as well, you are still connected. One of the questions this morning about what if my spouse doesn't want to pray with me? So here actually the spiritual intimacy is not actually doing well. But if other ways of intimacy are doing well, eventually this will affect the spiritual intimacy. So when we diversify in our marriage, when some avenues not work well, we are still connected. So regular diversified investment is the key to prevent erosion in our commitment. Regular investment is critical if you want to avoid problems or to begin turning things around. Regular investment is critical if you want to avoid problems or to begin turning things around. It is best if both partners are regularly investing in marriage. Whether the satisfaction level is currently up or down, even when I am not satisfied, even if my needs are not met, let us keep investing. Investing in a relationship when I am communicating well, validating each other, handling conflict well, do fun things together, put my self-interest aside to do something for my spouse, to preserve friendship, to forgive, resolve some problems. When I do all these things, actually, this will help this down cycle to go up quickly. Long-term commitment doesn't mean we take our partner for granted because of the security we feel in the commitment. Sometimes we fail to invest and to work on relationship because we are confident that our spouse will be there for us. But we should not take advantage of the long-term commitment. Don't take your spouse for granted, but you need to keep investing regularly. Because at the end, maybe you will still married but emotionally divorced if you are not investing in your marriage. You know what I mean? Emotionally divorced. We are just married. And that's what we'll speak about in tomorrow lecture, when we speak about constraint commitment. We are keeping this marriage not because of dedication, but because of some sort of constraint. Maybe because of the children, maybe because of religious beliefs. So we just married. And living with a spouse with whom I'm emotionally divorced, there is no emotion, there is no love anymore, can make the person choose either affair or divorce or keeping in problems all the time, keeping fighting each other. So the end result will not be good. Finally, they may get divorced. I know couple get divorced after 40 years of marriage. 40 years of marriage. Or one of the spouse will have an affair, or we keep fighting with each other. That's why if you are the neglected partner, if your spouse is taking you for granted, don't remain silent about it. Don't let the neglect of your relationship continue. Speak about it gently and nicely and kindly until your spouse start investing again in the relationship. Actually, you will not gain anything, and much will be lost If you wait around for what feels the right time to speak, if you are the neglected spouse. Some people wait for years to speak, but here much is lost and nothing is gained. And you need to speak. And speaking to address these issues is a very important element in investing regularly in your marriage. In the previous lecture, I talked about four signs that there are some deeper needs not met. One of these four signs was keeping scores. You have done this to me 5 times, 10 times. You are keeping score, keeping record. If you keep scores, this is an indication of low commitment and short-term view. It is monitoring what you are getting out of the relationship relative to what you are putting in. So, if you just monitor the relationship, then this is all what you are doing in the relationship. You are keeping the score. You are not putting in, you are not investing in the relationship. And when the future is uncertain, the score today is all that matters. You are keeping record. And sometimes in our mind, so when I go to the clerical council, I have record to fight my case and to defend my case and to get permit for remarriage. Believe me, some people come to us in the clerical council with thousands of pages. When I say thousands, I mean thousands of pages. Because all what they did from the first day of their marriage is keeping score and keeping record of what the other person is doing wrong. This is indication of low commitment and short-term view. Scorekeeping is very, very destructive. Because the hidden belief here that I need to get equal to what I put into the marriage. So in my mind, I did this, you need to do something in return. I did this, you need to do something in return. Such belief will lead to unhappiness in marriage. Because in my mind, I did 5 times, but you did 3 times. This will make me unhappy. Here the focus is not our happiness, but the focus how to be equal, how to get equal. Definitely, it is fair that both partners put an equal effort and equal investment in a marriage. But to get back something equal to what you are putting in, you will probably feel you are getting cheated. And most of us, we value what we do and we belittle what the other does. So most of the time we'll feel that we are treated unequally. And the problem is that scorekeeping is fundamentally biased in your own favor, on the favor of the one who is keeping the score. Usually it's biased. If I'm keeping the score, I will be biased. You can see everything positive you do for your spouse, but there is no way to see all the positive things your partner does. You are aware of everything positive you are doing, but you will not be aware of everything positive your spouse is doing. So scorekeeping will foster resentment, and this will lead to bitterness, and you will begin to think it is unfair. Even when it is not, you will say it is unfair, even when it is not unfair. You may count how many times, for example, your spouse lied to you. But when you lie to your spouse, you'll have justification. You may call it wisdom. So at the end of the score, she's a liar, but you are not a liar. And when you are confronted with your lie, you will find actually how to defend it. So scorekeeping means you have low commitment and you have a short-term view of your marriage, not a long-term view. Trust is a very essential element in commitment. Trust and commitment are related to each other. Trust means a firm belief in the honesty and reliability of another. You are confident that the other is honest with you and reliable. It is confidence, expectation, and hope in the other. Trust means you are counting on the other to be there for you when you need him or when you need her. Can you imagine if there is a bank has this sign, conditional bank, which means we are here to serve you at least until the end of this month. Are you going to deposit your money there? Definitely will not trust them, because they will not be there for you in the future. In the same way, without long-term view in marriage, without long-term commitment, who is going to trust enough to invest in a marriage? If your bank will not give you long-term commitment, you will not deposit there, you will not make investment there. In the same way, in order to trust, you need to have a long-term view. If you don't see reasons to trust your partner, you are less likely to invest in the marriage. Also, if you don't let your partner see your own dedication and your own commitment, how your partner is supposed to trust you and to keep on investing in the marriage? If he is threatened that you will walk away one day or another. That's why trust and commitment depend on each other. When you trust more, you will commit more. And when you see more commitment, you will trust more. So trust and commitment depend on each other. Sometimes people use commitment as a weapon in fight and in conflict. For example, threatening to divorce or separation, it is shaking the trust of your partner. So here actually, you are using a weapon, even if you don't mean it. You are using a weapon to shake the trust in your marriage. That's why if you want to keep your marriage on track, don't use the word divorce or the word separation. Commitment means also selflessness. If I'm committed, then it's not about myself, it's about the other. Unfortunately, our culture encourages devotion to self. Our culture is self-centered, but agape, true love, is not self-seeking, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Living for God means to love one another and to give ourselves to one another unselfishly. This kind of selfless dedication, selfless commitment, is fundamental to healthy relationship. It works powerfully against the tendency to use our spouse for my own gain and my own good. Many times I want to use my spouse for my own good, to serve my own needs. You can either try to get your way all the time, or you can try to please your spouse in love and enjoy the rich blessing of true, genuine love. If you become selfish and you want your way to be done all the time, then actually you are shaking the commitment here. But when you love the other and put the other needs before your own needs, when you are dedicated to do this and committed to do this, this actually will keep your marriage strong and healthy. That's why dedication is more about what you can give to one another than what you can get from one another. Dedication is more about what you can give more than what you can get. Dedication means how to make your spouse happy rather than put your own happiness as a priority before your spouse's happiness. Some people argue that in long-term commitment, we are encouraging codependency. We are encouraging codependency. But let's understand codependency. Significant people in the life of a person who is dependent on alcohol would help that person in ways that serve to keep alcoholism going. That's codependence. Encouraging wrong behavior. Codependency means significant people in my life, when I am alcoholic, their behavior, their attitude serve to keep the alcoholism going. They enable the alcoholic to avoid the consequences of drinking. That's codependence. Here actually there is a need in some people to feed the alcoholic dependency. And they are dependent on alcohol too, codependency, for their own need to be caretakers or in control of alcoholic. For example, if my son is alcoholic and my son, because he's alcoholic, he needs my care. And I am dependent on this care. So, subconsciously, I like to keep my son alcoholic in order for him to depend on me, because he is feeding my need for to be a caretaker or to be in control of my son. So that's here what we mean by codependency. Codependency means I'm encouraging subconsciously a wrong behavior because I get some sort of gain or some sort of satisfaction when I encourage this wrong behavior. Some parents, for example, they may support their children to get divorced. Why? Because then they will take the care of their children. Their children will give them the care and the love they need. That's codependence. So they are supporting the divorce of their children in order that the care of the children will be directed to the parents. That's codependence. So the idea here in codependency, some people help or do things for others in way that's destructive to both parties out of their own deeper insecurity or an issues of control. That's codependence. But dedication is different. Long-term commitment is different. Is it codependency because you decide to give yourself to the other in truly good ways? When I am other-centered, when I am centered and focused on my spouse, or if I am in a team, I am team-centered, is this considered codependency? Can you have a great marriage without giving yourself sacrificiously to the other? This is not codependency. This is actually the greatest expression of love. Codependency, when I make the person dependent on me, even if this will destroy him in a destructive way, that's codependency. So if you relate in ways that look patient and giving, but actually harm the relationship and yourself, this is not dedication. If you're encouraging wrong behavior, if you're encouraging abuse in the relationship, this is not dedication. This is actually not a long-term commitment. This is codependence. If I'm encouraging wrong behavior, this is codependence. But if I am giving myself selflessly and I am focused more on the needs of the other, this is the great expression of love. That's why the Lord asked us to confront behavior that threaten to destroy either me or my spouse or the marriage. The Lord told us, if your brother sin against you, go and talk to him, go and confront him. So we need actually to understand dedication in the proper way. Long-term commitment doesn't mean I will encourage the abuse like in Beirut Women's Syndrome. This is not long-term dedication. But long-term dedication in this situation means to confront gently and lovingly and in a kind way any behavior that threaten to destroy me or to destroy him or destroy our children or to destroy the marriage. So let me conclude this lecture by giving you four small exercises to make your commitment alive and thriving. Number one, believe it is possible. Believe that long-term commitment is possible. Number two, be willing to work at it, to invest in it. Not only believing, but also working on it, investing. Number three, sustain the work or the investment for long term. That's why in the first part of the lecture, I spoke about long-term investment versus day-to-day moving your investment. And number four, follow God's commandment in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, we read this verse. God actually was speaking about long-term commitment to him. And he said, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And the problem here, as the Lord diagnosed it in verse 4, I have this against you that you have left your first love. So if you have left the first love in your marriage, most of us, we loved our spouses, that's why we married them. So if now, if you are not committed to the marriage, or you feel emotionally divorced, then God is saying, I have this against you that you have left your first love. So the treatment here, remember, repent, do the things that you did at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, do the first works. So in order actually to reignite your commitment, remember. Remember from where you had fallen. Why these barriers and these walls are built. Also, remember what you used to have together. Remember the good memories in your marriage. Remember your first love. And repent. Decide to turn things around. Decide to do things 180 degree opposite what you have done. and do the first works. Do the things that you did at first when you were loving, kind to each other. And actually this prescription works. If you try it, it will work. Remember, repent, do the first works. Remember the reasons why now there are walls. And remember also the good memories. Repent means destroy these walls and start building bridges. Do the first things. Care for the other. Put his interest before your own interest. Put his happiness before your own happiness. Do the first thing that you did when you truly loved one another at the beginning. This actually will reignite your commitment. So, believe it is possible. Be willing to work at it, to invest. Sustain the investment for long term. Don't wait for the immediate payoff. Maybe you will not get immediate payoff, but when you keep investing, at the end, you will make profit, you will save your marriage. And remember God's commandment. If you forsake your first love, remember, repent, do the first work. Remember from where you had fallen, why these walls are built, and remember the good memories. Repent, destroy the walls and barriers, and start building bridges, and do the first work means do what you used to do when you first met and you were in a state of love toward one another. So we spoke in this lecture about the power of commitment, and tomorrow, God willing, we'll speak about the two types of commitment, dedication commitment and constraint commitment. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.